excited about talking about what the Lord's got on me. I got to get it off of me too. Amen. We're talking about your design for intimacy. Amen. That when we as a group come together, amen, we might settle for a hug and miss out on the intimacy that God has for us, because a hug feels good too, right? Big old hug is awesome. But the Lord really likes to come together with his bride. When we come together, we're the bride of Christ. We're the mother of all. Amen. That's what the church is in the world today. We're his queen of heaven. Amen. We're the ones, the church. I'm talking about there's only one church he puts on display, and she's so special to him because he wants all of his creation to know that he's devoted in covenant with her. And that dynamic is created because he is very, 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 and I emphasize very passionately, in love with her. And he likes to be intimate with her. Thus the reason you feel a different dynamic when we gather together and we come together to acknowledge our husband, amen, as the church. We acknowledge him as our source, that, amen, for us to enjoy what we're designed to enjoy. We need his seed in us. We have need of a fresh word from heaven. Anybody need God to speak to your spirit? Anybody want God to breathe into you living life, amen, from above? We need that more than we can imagine. And I'm asking God to help us understand how much we need that. Amen. We need him to fulfill our objective, to be fulfilled, amen, as a wife and as a mother in this earth and in God's great big plan. Amen. And so when we allow ourselves to be subject to him, And to be obedient to him. I know those are bad words, but guess what? It comes in return. The kingdom. Everything we need. It's like we're free. How can you be free and be obedient? How can you be free and be subject to and submitted to? That don't add up, because in our world, that equals prison, bondage, slavery. No identity. Is anybody catching this? But in God's kingdom, it equals you have everything. All he's asking from us is to trust him. That's what that obedience means. That's what that submission means. Trust. Does anybody like to be trusted? It's awesome when you have relationships that trust you. Thus, we're able to take this Christianese and translate it into truth. That we are subject one to the other, submitted one to the other. We trust each other. And God has a plan for you as an individual member of the body. He has a plan for me as an individual member of the body. And he has not given anyone the privilege of lording over the other, but rather serving one another. Amen. And all we talk about is what Daddy's saying. I'm going to say that one more time. All we talk about is what Daddy is saying. So I ask you a question. Is it okay to have a conversation without God being in it? Oh, now, Pastor Lowe. We can have some conversations without God being in it. That's no big problem with that. That didn't even sound right, did it? And when we agree with that lie, we're saying a little leaven is okay in the lump. But a little leaven in the lump leavens the whole lump. What's he talking about in that word in the scripture? He's talking about whatever you do in word or in do all in the name. Come on, your identity. We're talking about identity today. It's who you are. What did you take when you made covenant with him? Come on, is the bride. We took on his We're called by His Adam and Eve thought it was okay to have a conversation without God being in it one day. What did it cost them? The kingdom. It cost them the kingdom. It cost them the place where they were designed to operate God's business. Huh. Pastor Lou, you're really getting into our Kool-Aid right now. It's okay. It's okay if the Lord sticks His foot in it, isn't it? I know that I'm here today to help somebody. And when I say I don't mean Dwayne. I'm talking about the breath of God that's in me right now is to encourage you and to let you know how special you are and that you can arise above the cloud. Amen. The darkness, the frustration, the anxiety, the fear, the guilt, the unworthiness, the false identities that sometimes we adopt logically. It sounds right, but it's wrong. And so I must read at least something out of the Bible today so that you know I'm serious, that we're going to take this from the Word of God. Amen. Has anybody ever been in an intimate relationship where your relationship, your spouse, talks in the third person while they're intimate with you? Dwayne sure loves giving you goo goo eyes, Tammy. That's messed up. God wants this intimacy to get so together. He wants us to get so passionate in our fellowship with Him that anything that we hear Him say, we breathe it out. Because when we're hearing it, it's His breath coming into us, and we exhale it out. Come on, did Sean do a good job yesterday verifying what we know is true, but challenging us to be the platform, the instrument of God's love, the vessel, amen, that He's able to breathe into and out of. He wants the kind of passion that everything we see Him do, we engage. We're not only living in the Spirit, we walk. The difference. You can live and you can host and you can feel God, but you never act. And Jesus had something to say about those that would experience Him but never would walk. They wouldn't engage. They would talk about an experience with Him, but there was no evidence, amen, that they had the experience. Well, obviously you had an experience because you can talk about it, and I agree with it because that's the same experience I had, but you wouldn't move to act and walk in the Spirit. And Paul is telling the church, if you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. We're not here to play church. We're not here to be counted as a number. We're not here to attend on Sunday and then, okay, we'll wait the next Sunday. We'll show up and we'll have a little bit more intimacy with God, but no children are being born. No discipleship. No baptisms. Amen. No great commission. And I don't say that derogatory or down. I say that you and I have been given the role. The only way God can build His kingdom, the only way He can get children is through us being intimate with Him. And then allowing that seed that He puts in us to produce after its kind. Amen? So when you breathe out, amen, that seed is touching the lives and hearts of other people. It's Him speaking through you into His womb, into His body. I need you, you need me, we need one another to provoke each other, amen, to God Himself, the good works of the kingdom. I need you to provoke me to act, to walk in the Spirit. Amen, and when I stumble, it's so good to have brothers and sisters, amen, a body, a mother that will pick you up and shake you off and say, okay, let's try this again. Isn't that good? A righteous man or woman, they'll fall seven times, but they get up. Amen. Let's try it again. Practice moves you into maturity. Practice moves you into identity. Amen. You practice being who God designed you to be, and guess what? You will be who God designed you to be, to His glory and to His honor. Amen. That's how it works. And so we found out that, you know, a conversation, amen, with God is the conversation that works. That's the one that makes us smart. Amen. Any conversations that's outside the parameters of God sets us up to look and appear as though we're intelligent, but we're not smart. And that hadn't worked out for very many people that I know of. So let's read what it is, amen, and what a conversation with God looks like. I do want to read something to you here in Daniel 2 and 21. It says, "And he changes the times and the seasons," speaking of God. "He removes kings and he raises up kings. He gives wisdom." Notice who gets the wisdom. The wise get the wisdom. Well, I thought I needed to get wisdom before I become wise. No, it's the wise who get the wisdom. Now figure that one out. Think about that for a moment. And then he says, he gives knowledge to those who have understanding. I thought you were supposed to get a lot of knowledge so you could have understanding. No, those who have understanding get the knowledge. So important for you. But how does it, that's totally turned around the way the world does it. It's like you got to back into it in order to be in God's way. But really, it's not that way. You're moving forward. You're trying to back into something that don't work and you're falling off a cliff. But in God's kingdom, you move forward in Him, amen, and He gives wisdom to the wise, and He gives knowledge to the ones that have understanding. Where did I get that? Out of being intimate. Ah, Lord, I need to know something I don't know. And then I need you to tell me what to do with what I don't know. And He says, okay, I can work with that. Now I'm going to give you a knowing you can't explain, and I'm going to give you wisdom because you was wise and you understood that through being wise that you needed to come to me to get what you needed, because without me you can do. Anybody ever tried to do anything without God before? How did that work out for you? Anybody ever tried to repair your marriage without God? Any relationship, business, it don't matter. We can't do nothing. And He wants us to prosper and be in good health. He wants the best for us. But in order to have that, He wants us to know that we need something that we don't know about first. And so you're going to find out in a few moments that you think you know what you need, but you really don't. He knows what you have need of. You don't know what you have need of. Oh, yes, I do, Pastor. I need more of a bank account. I need my health to change. I need, you know, help in making sure my yard looks better. I need a new vehicle. And you think that you need that stuff. But that ain't what you need. He'll take care of that when you come to grips with the fact that ain't what you need. You need something you don't even know what it is. And He wants to show you. But before you ever come to Him, He already knows what you have need of before you come. You got to get this, ladies and gentlemen. You don't know what you need. I need God. Okay, well, that's a general answer. That's cool. He'll work with that. But then you have to determine what that means. What is that? What does that look like? How do I move into that? What does that mean for me? These are the things in 1 Corinthians 2:10. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searcheth all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God, the very breath of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit whom is from God, the very breath of God. Catch this, ladies and gentlemen. We're alive in Him. We're a living soul. We have a spirit. So that we may understand what God hath freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the very breath of God. explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they're too intelligent to understand that. Because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Has anybody figured out we need to be intimate with Him? And that for God to breathe into us and for us to live, amen, to really live in the Spirit and then walk in the Spirit, it all is because He is the source. Not the fact that you've read 1,000 books and you got a lot of head knowledge. That ain't getting you anywhere. Now, you can read 1,000 books, and I'm not going to condemn you over that. What you're going to do with all that knowledge is important now. Does that create a dynamic for you to have identity? Yep, in the world. But what's God looking for here? The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who hath known the mind of the Spirit so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Satan is after your identity. He knows that if you ever truly find out who you are, amen, that you will tread on him and beat him. Your unregenerated spirit without God is his plan for us every days of our life. He's after that. And he knows that he can manipulate us when we choose knowledge through the cognitive processing abilities that we have to source out our decisions. The moment that I think that I can come up with the logical path that I should walk, he has us nailed to rights. And that he can puppet us because he's the one that produced that kind of thinking and not God. Is anybody catching this? I need Jesus every waking moment of every day. I need him. And so I encourage you, God's already established every event in your life that he wants to see happen. Every event. Every purpose that God planned for you is still intact, whether it's happened or not. Do y'all know that? Most people don't know that. Then in our world, we're so intelligent, we think that time can pass. Time passes. Well, I'm looking at the clock, Pastor. It's passing right now. And from our logic, it appears that time is passing by. But time does not box God in. Time is within God. Let me help you. He designed you to be his platform to redeem the time. How do we redeem the time? Yes, Lord. I got you. Yeah, I got you. Mm-hmm. But Lord, you know, I'm 80 years old right now, and I feel like I've messed up, and all these things that you have planned for me, I missed them. And the Lord says, oh, no, get intimate with me, and I will restore the years that the cankerworm and the palm. I know I'm talking Christianese, but the enemy has stole from you by lying and making you think you're intelligent. This happened to somebody. Did you mean, oh, yeah, come on, let me give you a few examples. See, the enemy wants you to fight on his turf. He wants you to fight on his, you know, his plans of engagement. Engage where I like to engage. That's how the enemy plays us. And so Moses got pulled in, and it put him on hold for 40 years. Yeah. Somebody picking on one of my people. Bless God, I'm going to take them out. And he took them out. Okay, you didn't check with the Spirit first. Well, they deserved it. They're messing with my people. That's God's people too. All people are God's people. That was good. How'd that work out for you, Moses? Put you on hold for 40 years. But God still had every event intact. Amen? And so, we have an opportunity here today to realize that, like I like this one, Caleb, he's a good example, that He come back with a good report when he went over into the promised land and spied it out. He said, we can do it. Man, with God, all things are possible, right? But then 10 spies said, we can't do it. We see ourselves in a false identity. We're as grasshoppers in their sight. We can't do it. And because 10 evil reports came back from the spying mission, Caleb has to wait 40 years because of unbelief and belly aching and sucking the thumb, complaining. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? But when that nation, that group that was complaining and those 10 spies that said we couldn't do it dies off, Pastor, you really are playing in the Kool-Aid today. Caleb is 80 years old. And you would think that, man, what God had planned ain't going to be able to happen for him. He's just got to do it through somebody else. You ever heard that lie before? Somebody needs to hear this right now. You've let the enemy tell you, man, if I'd have just, man, God could, but now God's going to have to use somebody else. And I can tell you there's several of you here right now that said that. You repeated the lie the enemy told you. And the Lord wants you to know he's about to redeem the time if you will believe. He's going to return back every year that you felt like you lost, and he's going to let you give the testimony. You're going to be a witness to him of his power, his glory, and his honor. Because he don't make no junk. Caleb tells Joshua, Joshua, I want my mountain. It's mine. I'm as strong as I was when I was 40. And Joshua says, but I don't want to be none of those giants right now. They don't want to mess with Caleb. And that mountain that he takes is a mountain that's inhabited with giants. And Caleb goes and he cleans that mountain off at 80 years old. What a testimony that you and I can talk about our brother Caleb, that looked like he was missing out on all the things that God planned for him. God restored it. God redeemed it. And God fulfilled it. And just like he's going. And we're living under grace, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus paid the debt off. He wasn't living under that. He was living with an expression of God. Amen. Today we're living in the Spirit of God. It was to redeem the time. And so Jesus already knows what you have need of, so that when you agree with him and you trust him, you, amen, through you, he's able to breathe into you and you're able to exhale the breath of God so that the time is redeemed. And every event begins to manifest in your life. And you know what? That's not what you're concerned about. You know what you're more concerned about now is the intimacy that you found in your relationship with God. Amen. God is into you. He's into you becoming who he says you are. And the enemy has lied to some of us about who we are. You see, the scripture tells us, do not quench the spirit. Paul is telling the church, do not stifle. Do not block the will of the spirit to work through you. And he's emphatic when he says it. When you go look at it, it's like, oh, my goodness. And that goes back to God has a plan today. He's going to speak. He wants your tongue to articulate what he's saying. He's going to do some things, and he wants your hands and feet to go with him so he can get them done. True? If it's laying hands on the sick and they're recovering, guess who's doing that? God is breathing through you and fulfilling his will. True? But the enemy don't want you to do it. He wants you to stifle it because he wants you to doubt who you are. He wants you to doubt you're valid. He wants you to doubt that, amen, God can do anything through you right now. Amen? And so he works overtime to hold us captive within an idea that we're intelligent and we've already come to grips with the fact that, you know, I already know God can't accept me. I'm so intelligent. I've already judged myself for God. Is anybody that intelligent here? And I'm just telling you, I know that's funny, but our actions speak louder than our words. That we're already helping God judge us, and we have no clue of how merciful He is, and how long-suffering He is, and how passionate He is about finishing what He starts in us. So how is it that I can stop the Spirit? I can quench the Spirit. How do I do that? Amen. It's because of, I let the Spirit, not of God, but the Spirit of fear come. Amen. The enemy wants you to engage with him on his terms. What's his engagement terms? Knowledge of good and evil. He wants you to engage with him. And see, Adam and Eve done that. The first intelligent conversation that ever happened was in the garden. And the moment they had that intelligent conversation, that the enemy convinced that they were intelligent, they lose their place in God's kingdom. Didn't work out well for them, did it? And the reason, amen, that conversation wasn't cool is because it produced a fear. What was the fear that it produced in Adam and Eve? They feared God was leaving them out of something. Just having the conversation. They haven't even partaken of the fruit yet. They're having an intelligent conversation with the enemy, which wasn't very smart whatsoever. And instead of being smart, they intelligently decided, yeah, God is leaving us out of something here. And then they begin to think, well, I don't agree with that. And they took the thing that God said, do not eat of, and they partook of it because they doubted God. And they were convinced by the enemy's lie that they were intelligent enough to make this call. Anybody ever done that before? And it destroyed the intimacy between Adam and God. And instead of Adam going to God in the cool of the day and walking with the voice of God, he chooses to go to the tree of knowledge of good and evil and have a conversation. And we get up every day with that temptation. Every one of us get up that every day with that temptation. But fear comes to quench the Spirit, not to encourage us to follow the Spirit. Anybody ever get mad on the road? Rage shows up, anger, because somebody cut you off. Bless God. I'm going to make them respect me because I've been disrespected all my life. My daddy disrespected me. My mommy disrespected me. My brother, my school teacher. Man, we got a list. And we get all worked up on the road because where's this hostility coming from? Where's this anger coming from? How did it get there? What logic produced that pattern in your life that when you get in a car, you turn into something that's definitely not God's given identity? Pastor, now you're really in the Kool-Aid. What if we spoke from our identity when you get cut off on the road? Our true identity, not this false identity, because I feel like I've been disrespected all my life, and bless God, somebody's going to respect me. What if we spoke from the identity God gave us instead of from that lying identity? And instead of being something we're not, be who He says we are and bless them and curse not and encourage them and curse not. You see, we've been designed to be like Daddy. He's an encourager. He's a blesser. He's a life giver. He speaks the truth and He lies not. Is anybody tracking? Let me help you. It's so good. I ain't got but like 15 minutes to get through. We're going to get there. The Lord's going to help me redeem the time. I remember that, does anybody here remember when that time come where you thought you were more intelligent than mom and dad? That you actually thought you knew what was best for you than mom and dad? About 15, 14, 13, 16, somewhere in that range, all teenagers get more intelligent than mom and dad. And I remember that I had some knowledge that my mama didn't have, and she said something that was not true, and I responded with what the truth was. And my dad was in the room. And I got a revelation that I wasn't as intelligent as I thought I was. And my dad let me know, son, now, if you're having heartburn with mom, you can always come to me and talk about it. He was available. But I was offended. I didn't let on. I like, sir, yes, sir. Click my heels. Yes, sir. Whatever you say, because I ain't tending with him, boy. I lost already. I was offended. I still thought I was more intelligent because I thought I knew what was best for me at 15. And you know the Lord worked with that because my daddy goes to meet him, and now I ain't got daddy. And all of a sudden, I want daddy. And I ain't got daddy now. And all that worked in God's favor because now you didn't honor the one I put in your path. You took offense with the one. You didn't trust me with the daddy I gave you. And now, and all daddies are messed up. All daddies make mistakes. They don't do everything just right. Is that right, Todd? We don't do it all right. And repentance is not a problem. I can repent. But the fact is, the Lord says, no, I'm going to work with it. My love is going to be shed on your life. And now I really need daddy. So I have to find a way to get this emptiness and this frustration, this anger, and all this stuff that I'm feeling right now off of me. And somehow in my brokenness, the Lord met me in my little personal hell. He said, son, I'm right here. If you need to come to me, you can come. And I was able to go to him and ask him and knock on him and seek something that I didn't have that I needed to have. Now, I'm going to close here in the next few minutes with this, and this is really going to, it's going to hit us hard, ladies and gentlemen, because remember, Jesus knows what we have need of before we ask. We don't know what we need. And there, everybody in this room, you still think you got it figured out what you need, and you still don't know what you need. Because every day you get up, you need something you don't have. Oh, I've got Jesus. Yeah, but if you're going to get what you need for today, you got to be intimate. No, let me back up, digress. You get to be intimate. Oh, you should be passionate about being intimate. Now, have y'all noticed that when we gather together, there's a different dynamic when we're together as a body? We've talked about it. It's like, man, if I could just keep this dynamic with me when I walk out of the building. And it's not a negative. It's a positive because there's something that goes on when we're the bride, we're the mother. There's more intimacy because he's interested in giving to his bride seed that she can't get no other way. Oh, I don't need the church. I don't need my brother. No, he ain't in the Long Rangers. He don't do the Long Ranger thing. Everybody member is connected. And we all fit in God's great big plan. He gave us. And by the way, who he decided for you to be and the purpose he gave you, you don't want to fuss with it. If you're fussing with it, you've been having intelligent conversations you shouldn't have. You hadn't been having smart conversations. Well, I think it ought to be so-and-so. They don't deserve that. Well, who told you that? You really don't know who you're trying to be them. You don't know who you are. Boy, if you knew who you are, you wouldn't want to be them. Because they don't want to be you. They want to be who they are. Come on, this is going to hit home just in a minute. As the mother, this is a power you have. As the mother of all of God's creation. You're the mother. Not Mary. You are the mother of all God's creation. The church. The church is the mother. You have a power that's been given to you that he don't have. He invested it in you. This is what you can do. There are sons and daughters that come and they got heartburn with daddy. They upset with daddy. And then you got to decide, since you're mommy, you got to decide, am I going to point them to daddy or am I going to join in with them about daddy being flawed? Am I going to join in with their heartburn and make them more offended with daddy? Or am I going to be a true mother that knows how to point them to the one that can give them what you and I as the mother, we can't give the sons. We can give them this big hug and they can feel comforted with mom. But the comfort that mom is doing said, now you better go ask, seek, and knock. Because he ain't giving it to you until you come and ask. You got to go to him. He made himself available. He already provided everything you need. Matter of fact, he stood between you and life and death. Why are you offended with him? He's everything. And I know the enemy's convinced you that he could be a better dad, but he can't be a better dad. He's the best dad he can be. And the enemy, don't stop lying, because he wants us to have conversations that cast a negative light on our father. Does anybody ever blame God for your heartburn? Has anybody ever felt like God didn't care? And if God loved me, I wouldn't have to be going through it. Where did you get that conversation from? How did that get in your spirit? And the worst thing that can happen is when the mother starts agreeing. I agree with you, son. I agree with your daughter. Daddy should do better than that. I can't believe he's not paying. And the only reason the mom would do that is because there's no intimacy. She's not going to him neither. That's the only reason she'd do that, to get what she needs. And I'm saying this, God has shifted things in our world right now. The church is waking up. The church is stirring up the gift within her. And she's praying in the spirit. She's getting intimate and she's allowing God to breathe into her all the seed of the kingdom. This awakening is happening right now. So that when we leave here today as sons, every one of you, men, women, we're sons. We're going into battle. And we're not going without armor. We're not going without the covering. We're not going out knowing who we are. We're going out with confidence. We're not just in the spirit. We're walking. We're engaging. So I would say to you, if you catch this, your personal relationships will start getting healed. If you catch this. If you don't catch this, you'll stay intelligent and you'll die intelligent. And you'll go to the bad place intelligent. Pastor, how come you had to say it that way? Because you're living in the bad place today, intelligent. Why make it worse? Hell on earth is happening right now. If you're living and you can't sleep at night, if you're in a position to where you're tossing and turning, if your anxiety and frustration and fear and the guilt and the unworthiness and all these false identities attached to you going on right now, that's hell on earth. To get there, you had to choose to think that you were intelligent and that I'm being picked on. I'm not okay, and it's God's fault. I'm not okay, and it's your fault. Anybody feel like somebody's a problem? If you feel like anybody's a problem in your life, you've rejected intimacy with God. If you feel like as soon as somebody gets their act together, you'll have a better day, you just rejected God today. This is so important because we're still playing patty cake with the enemy, doing hopscotch with him, whatever the game is. And we're playing the game with him, and he's winning hands down. He is manipulating us, and he's puppeting us, and we think we're believers in Jesus. But there's no evident fruit there. Anybody want to bear some fruit? Well, this bad word called obedience and submission to intimacy. I don't get it. I mean, we're designed for intimacy. We're designed to be passionate for our husband. Why are we turned off with him? Who lied to us? Who lied? Why are we still debating whether tongues is an important fact? If you can't speak with tongues, you can't be edified. The scripture said tongues are for the edifying of a body. Pastor, you shouldn't. No, we're still debating stuff we shouldn't debate. God chose these things. We didn't. Who gave us the right to decide whether God could use that or not? He chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. When did we come to the place with that we had the right to debate whether or not something's God or not? After he gets through saying, I know what you have need of more than you do. He tells his disciples, when you pray this way. Seven things that he reveals in that prayer, which is really a declaration of the Great Commission. Seven things that you need. If you focus on those seven things, and it's all a declaration of the Great Commission, then the need for food on your table will be taken care of. The need for a bank account will be taken care of. The need for a car. Anything that you think you need that really is not what you need, he'll add those things when you find out really what you need. But it's time to find out what it is we need. We don't know what we need. And the Lord wants to reveal that to you. But he ain't giving it to you until you're willing to humble yourself. He will not build his house on a platform of arrogant pride. He will only build his house on humility, brokenness, contriteness. God, I need you. That's not American. That's not, bless God, I have a right. I deserve. You can't come, that platform can't be built with that. It's when you come to the resolve, Lord, here I am. It hadn't worked out well, Lord. Here I am. I lay bare before you everything. I am subject to you. I submit. What is it that I need to know that I don't know? Anybody got that need right now? What is it, Lord? When you give this unction to my spirit, how do you want me to do it? We're not going to do anything outside of his breath breathing in us and out of us. And that most unruly member will talk the king's language. It will say it, whether it's in English, it don't matter. You're going to talk the king's language when you get in an intimate relationship with him. You're going to talk in tongues. It's going to be so awesome. When you get intimate with him, it's going to be so awesome. You can't stop talking in tongues. Pastor Lowe, be careful, man. You get X-rated. No. You're going to goo-goo eye him. You're going to slobber all over him. It's just going to be, And you're going to want to stay in that intimate relationship longer than just 15 seconds. 1 minute. You're going to want to hang out. Because it's doing something that's eternal and it's setting you up in your identity, and you're coming to grips with the fact that you don't know nothing. He knows everything. And any debates in the past, you're going to cut them off. Any family ties and genealogies that's caused you to live a Christianese life without any power and demonstration of the Spirit, you're going to cut that off. You still love them, but you're here today because of the grace of God, not because of grandma. I had a great grandma, by the way. Don't pick on her, but I'm not here because of grandma. I'm here because of the grace of God. Thank God for grandma, but I'm here because Jesus is after me. And she told me, son, follow the Spirit. I'm only here to, you're going to achieve things in the Spirit. I didn't, Some of it, we got to be a mother. Your children, come on. The children in this community is waiting to be born right now are going to go places that we can't go, but we're going to be the womb that they come out of. Because we're intimate with our husband. And we're not going to be offended with him. And we're certainly not going to join with the enemy and cause the kids to be more offended with him. We're going to point them to him and say, now, what's daddy saying? Not what mama's saying. Come on, y'all. It's not what mama's saying, it's what is daddy saying. I mean, that breaks into a culture issue, don't it? It's not what mama knows, it's what daddy knows. And I know what I know because I've been intimate with him, son, daughter. Out of intimacy, I can tell you, you need to go. You need to talk to daddy. You need to ask, seek, and knock. Because you don't know what you have needed. You think you're more intelligent than daddy. You think you know what you need. You don't know what you need. You need to get to daddy ASAP. Anybody offended with daddy? That offense has got to stop today. He's not running from nobody. He's available for any and whosoever will to come. He set it up. If you trust me, come on. Come, follow me. And he says, I'll make you, I'll make you, I'll make you. Your best days before you. Right where you're sitting, right now. The Spirit of God is ready to take over. Would you please let go of your perception of God, the world, what people think, and just zone in with daddy right now and begin to ask him, Lord, what is it that I don't know that I need to know right now? What is it, Lord, that you want to do? And I need to know how you want me to join with you in it. We got to get real, ladies and gentlemen. Going to church ain't helping nobody. Being the church saves everybody. Father, I thank you for the word right now. If we turn our hearts to heaven, we surrender. There's clouds, there's pain, there's frustration, there's heartbrokenness right now in this room. There's offense. There's broken relationships. There's people in places right now you don't know what to do with what you're faced with. You're overcome with anxiety. You understand what fear looks like and you don't know what to do with it. You can't sleep at night. All that's about to change because the breath of God is here to speak right to you the thing that it is you need to know that you need. And he wants the intimacy more than you want. I'm asking the prayer team as you sit. I want you to sit today. I mean, the Lord's prompting me. Let them sit. I want them to relax and focus on me right now. The prayer team, if you would, as the Holy Spirit prompts you, just ease around and agree with the Spirit. And if you're setting and you sense God is telling you to go agree with someone or speak a declaration into someone's heart, be the mother and point them to the miracle worker, daddy. Just us and daddy here. It's intimate time. Get lost in it. Come on. Get the hots for Jesus right now. Nothing else matters. He's everything. Whew. He's focused on you. His eyes are piercing into your spirit right now. Receive him.